name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful.
And kindle in them the fire of your love.
Send forth, O Lord, your Spirit.
And renew the face of the earth.
Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love.
That we may rejoice and be glad all our days.
The Spirit of the Lord fills the world.
Let the righteous rejoice. Let them exult before God.
Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up.
Our God is the God of salvation.
Those who know your name put their trust in you.
For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you.
He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel.
All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God.
Whoever is wise and will observe these things,
even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord.
Be gracious to us that we may recount all your praises.
Be gracious to us that we may rejoice in your deliverance.
Sing praises to the Lord.
He gives power and strength to his people.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, it is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful.
And kindle in them the fire of your love.
Almighty and everlasting God, since you have given us your servants grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the true unity in the power of your divine majesty, keep us also steadfast in this true faith and worship, and defend us ever from all our adversaries. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The lesson is from the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. We have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith as he had who wrote, "I believed and so I spoke," we too believe, and so we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Reverend President, fathers, colleagues, people of God, and especially you, new brothers in the office of the Holy Ministry. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God which engages us for this occasion is written in the fifth verse of the fourth chapter of the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. You stand this morning at a threshold. You have been through enough commencements to know what is supposed to follow. You have worked very hard. You and many others have sacrificed to make this day possible. You have endured all of the rigorous requirements of this demanding program, and now you have arrived. This is your day. The future is open to you. You have what the world needs, and you are ready to go offer it to them. You are the generation that is going to set things aright and turn things on. Well, maybe that's the way it's supposed to go, but it won't go that way today. You stand at a threshold, to be sure. You have indeed worked hard. And many have indeed sacrificed in this church and people who are in this congregation this day to make this all possible. And some might even argue that, yes, you have gone through a very demanding program. In a sense, you have arrived. You have already written those letters indicating your intention to accept the calls which God has given to you through His church. You have already put your hand to the plow. It's too late to turn back now. And you do have that which the world does need, God's gospel in word and sacrament. But we ought to get one thing very clear. What awaits you on the other side of this threshold is described in this text with different language from the ordinary commencement. And we ought make no mistake about it. The text is clear, and it uses an unmistakable word, slave. You stand at the threshold of slavery. Now, to people who are obsessed with freedom, the most repugnant word in the world is slavery. Whether it is the ancient Greek or the modern American, the distinctive quality of self-awareness is that one is free. You are the products of a liberal arts education designed to set you free to think and to plan and to act as responsible men. Wherever slavery exists, human autonomy is set aside. Another's will takes precedence over your own. Precisely. That is what indeed has happened to us. Plunged in the waters of holy baptism, we have been buried with Christ into his death. We have been bought with a price. We are not our own. We have been brought into a slave relationship. But that slave relationship is there because another has already become slave for us. The threshold of slavery has been crossed once and for all in the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. For as the apostle wrote, though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. By his death and resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ has defeated death and sin and hell. Our sins were washed in his precious blood, and Christ our Lord has brought life and immortality to light through his gospel. Jesus Christ, who became slave, has delivered us from sin and condemnation. He has made of us his own possession, people who belong to him, people who live under him, people who confess the reality of what has been done, and who stand in readiness to receive the full consequences of that slave relationship at the most personal level. We ought to know who is Lord and who is not. We do not preach ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. The ancient philosopher concluded that he knew the answers to all the problems of humanity. He advertised his system and he called himself Kyrios. He was now Lord. We do not proclaim ourselves. Now, you and I know that within us there is that ancient urging to be Lord. And if we're not aware of it, there are enough people around us who know how to scratch and to make that emerge again. You see, for all the preacher baiting that is going on in this church body and all the moaning we do about the low estate of the pastoral office, you are going to get a great deal of respect because of who you are. People will defer to you. They will come to you for guidance. They will look to you for direction. They will believe that you have answers of right to all the wrong. Because of your office, they will honor you. And yes, they will even love you. But don't ever let them get confused about who is Lord. And don't you ever get confused about who is Lord, or I'll take up my threat that I've given to so many of you. I probably ought to explain that to the back of the room. I've taught most of these men this year, and I've threatened that if they ever confuse law and gospel, I will retire in their congregations. They know I do it too. Don't ever confuse who is Lord and who is not. You and I are not. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. It is His life, His death, His resurrection, His baptism, His absolution, His body, His blood, His victory, His kingdom that you and I are to proclaim. That is our calling. We are to help people who bear His name to learn to confess Him as Lord. And so you will teach your children. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. You will let your voice bounce off of the tombstones in a cemetery as you proclaim, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, says the Spirit, and their works do follow them." You will help God's people day in and day out to live under the firm expectation that our Lord is coming again, so that all that is said and done lives under that. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. It is of this Christ and this gospel that we are slaves. We do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. Slaves who understand the totality of total commitment to the total claim of the one who is and the only one who is Kyrios, Lord. And you and I, who desire the office of a bishop, need to hear in particular the words of our Lord addressed to the pushy mother of the sons of Zebedee and her offspring. Jesus said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. It will not be so among you, but whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many." Slaves. Your slaves. Whose slaves? Your slaves. What kind of a genitive is running around in this text? St. Paul was not slave of the church at Corinth, in the sense that the church was master and he slave. No, St. Paul insisted again and again that he was a slave of Jesus Christ. But he was the Corinthian slave in the sense that he was in slavery to the Corinthians, for the Corinthians, on behalf of the Corinthians, for the benefit of the Corinthians. And so are you. The congregation does not own you. You do not own the congregation either, but that's another sermon on another text for another day. You are in slavery to the congregation, for the congregation, for the benefit of God's people in the congregation, so that they too may learn to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, because you have proclaimed Him as Lord to them. And you see, it is this that takes away the opprobrium of slavery. For this slavery is for Jesus' sake. Oh, at the command of Jesus, to be sure. But more than mere command, for the sake of Jesus means because of all that Jesus Christ has done. His death, his resurrection, his forgiveness, his promises, his hope. All that is for you, all that is for all those people entrusted to your care, and all that is for the whole world, for Jesus' sake, you are in slavery. For Jesus' sake, you are a fool. For Jesus' sake, you are given up to death every day. For Jesus' sake, you count all but loss. For Jesus' sake, you are a slave. So come and step over the threshold into slavery. As you receive a theological diploma, attesting to your suitability for the office, and as you receive a diploma of vocation specifying the arena where you are to work, you enter into the slavery of Jesus Christ. And as you do so, you join all those pastors of this synod who have gone before you and who stand there ready to welcome you as co-worker and colleague. To borrow a phrase from John Bunyan, all the trumpets are sounding for you on the other side. So come then and step across the threshold into the delightful slavery of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A special thanksgiving of this congregation of worshipers flows heavenward for God's giving to the church a group of men who are about to enter the holy ministry. May our Heavenly Father give us sincere and reverent hearts as we present them their theological diplomas of vocation. Our Lord instituted the office of the holy ministry and promised at all times to provide men who are equipped and sufficient for the tasks it entails. He himself must make them sufficient. This he does through the spiritual, intellectual, and physical gifts with which he endows them, and through the development of these gifts by the nurture of God's own word. Jesus himself taught his disciples. St. Paul faithfully instructed Timothy and other servants for their office, as reflected in his saying to Timothy, "Follow the pattern of the sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." And again, "What you have heard from me before many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." The faculty of Concordia Seminary has been commissioned by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to conduct such instruction for the office of the holy ministry in the Synod.
Will the summer of 1990 and the spring 1991 candidates please rise? Reverend President, I present the members of the graduating class of 1991 together with graduates of previous years who joined them in becoming active candidates for the holy ministry. Names of the graduates from previous quarters who have received their theological diplomas appear in the program. The faculty has declared these men qualified for entrance into the office of the ministry of Word and Sacrament in the Church through the Council of Presidents acting as the Board of Assignments for the Synod, with the assistance of the Placement Committee of the faculty, men of this year's graduating class, deferred candidates from preceding classes, and colloquy candidates have been assigned to calls in parishes and missions of the Church.
With the entire Church, we rejoice in their entrance upon the holy ministry. As these candidates for the holy ministry come forward, I authorize you, Dean, to deliver to them the instruments attesting to their fitness and to their calls.
Charles Ramsey III. David Adams. Barry Akers. Anthony Alter. Paul Anderson. Joseph Ardy. David Barber. Perry Bauer. Brian Beardsley. James Bender. Michael Beyer. Edward Bierman. David Boyd. Philip Brandt. James Brown. James Bruner. Patrick Burt. Edward Callahan IV. Edward Clemens. Andrew Correo. Robert Demchuk. Michael Dorn. Mark Drengler. Michael Eckelkamp. Thomas Eckstein. Thomas Egebrecht. John Ehlers. Mark Erler. Dwayne Farr. Wayne Fredrickson. Peter Glock. John Glover Jr. Carl Gnavuk. James Greer IV. Keith Grimm. Henry Hales. Michael Henson. Timothy Hentz.
Yahweh be praised.
Paul Holtorf. Timothy Holzerland. Richard Jones. Bruce Kaseman. Timothy Klinkenberg. Paul Klupke. Douglas Kringle. Brent Kuhlman. Jeffrey Kunze. David Languish. David Lowy. Paul Lauer. Ronald Leyenbauer. Merle Monken. Jonathan Markshausen. Timothy May. Clarence McIntyre. Jerome McNamara. Kirk McQuillan. Johannes Mengstab. Marvin Moss. Stephen Nearman. Thomas Phillips. Keith Piotr. Brendan Prigge. David Reese. Jason Rensner. Ronald Richeson.
Thank you, Dean.
Lee Rupert. Gregory Sawyer. Theodore Schaefer. Richard Schauer. Thomas Schmidt. Brett Schrader. Dwayne Schrader. Maynard Schultz. Stephen Schultz. Mark Schwallenberg. Alvin Scheffler. Scott Stewart. Larry Tiemann. Matthew Versman. Stephen Voigt. James Waddell. James Walter. David Weber. Delton Weiser. Thomas Wenig. Donald White. David Zirpel.
I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ and in the name of the church of which he is head, that you give all diligence to perform your manifold duties with untiring faithfulness and constant solicitude, as you will desire to have done when you shall be called to give an account of your stewardship. Be sure, brothers, to make the word of God your guide. Search the scriptures for your instruction. Depend on the grace of God in gospel and sacrament. Make full use of the privilege of prayer, especially in interceding for those who will be committed to your care. Be careful to live as disciples of Christ, and thus to be examples that will prompt others to walk in the fear of God. May the Lord direct and assist you by his Holy Spirit. May he counsel and strengthen you in all your undertakings. May he empower you to labor diligently and faithfully for the prosperity of his church in fulfillment of your respective calls. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain.
Will the deferred candidates please rise? Reverend President, I present to you the graduates who have elected to continue their studies and for that sake have been granted the status of deferred candidates by the faculty: Timothy Brandt, James DeLoach, Roger James, Charles Kieschnick, Robert Lanau, Scott Malmy, Brian Moseman, Scott Schmieding, William Steinbauer, Jeffrey Stuckwish, Alan Tonges.
In our prayers and good wishes, we include also you members of this year's class who are deferring your candidacies and are going on for further study in order to amplify your training in special ways. May our Heavenly Father grant to you the rich gift of His Spirit, so that in the name of Christ you may keep the sense of your calling clear, advance your studies, and be more richly equipped to serve the Lord Christ by serving His church.
Will the summer candidates please rise? Reverend President, I present to you Henry Gehrke and Pornprom Nuttallong, members of the class of 1991, both of whom anticipate receiving calls into the pastoral office. These members of the class of 1991 have already completed the requirements for the Master of Divinity degree and have been endorsed as qualified in all respects for the office of the Ministry of Word and Sacrament in the Church.
With the entire Church, we rejoice in your anticipated interest upon the Holy Ministry, and pray that our Heavenly Father grant to you every spiritual blessing as you labor diligently and faithfully in fulfillment of your anticipated call.
Will the colloquy deferred vicars please rise? Reverend President, I present to you the students in the pastoral colloquy program of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod who have completed the resident theological studies in that program at Concordia Seminary. For the completion of the pastoral colloquy program, they now enter vicarages assigned by the Council of Presidents acting as the Synod's Board of Assignments to learn the practice of the pastoral office under the supervision of ordained pastors. Upon conclusion of vicarage and endorsement by the colloquy committee for the pastoral office, they will enter the ministerium of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod by pastoral calls extended to them through the Board of Assignments.
With the entire Church, we rejoice in their progress toward the Holy Ministry. As these colloquy students come forward, I ask you, Dean, to deliver to them written recognition of their present status in the name of Concordia Seminary, which will be their alma mater, and from the Synod's Colloquy Committee, which will continue to supervise their deferred vicarage program.
Thomas Harries. Regine Hodnefield. Kevin Martin, Gerald Rogo, Kenneth Tatkenhorst.
I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ and in the name of the Church, which He is the head, that you give all diligence in your vicarage and later in your call to perform the manifold duties of the office of the ministry with an untiring faithfulness and constant solicitude. Be sure to make the Word of God your guide, search the Scripture for your instruction, depend on the grace of God in gospel and sacrament, make full use of the privilege of prayer, especially in interceding for those whom you will serve.
be careful to live as disciples of Christ and thus to be examples that will prompt others to walk in the fear of God. May the Lord direct and assist you by His Holy Spirit. May He counsel and strengthen you in all your undertakings. May He empower you to labor diligently and faithfully for the prosperity of the church. Teach what befits sound doctrine. Show yourself in all respects a model of good deeds. Always be steady, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Christ,
have mercy upon us.
O Lord,
have mercy upon us.
O Christ,
hear us.
O God, the Father in heaven,
have mercy upon us.
O God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy upon us.
O God, the Holy Spirit,
help us, good Lord.
For thankful hearts to discern your will, for a special measure of your Spirit, for mindfulness of the prayers of the church for us, for a clear vision of Christ crucified and risen.
We ask you to hear us, good Lord.
From all thought of personal advantage or prestige, from lurking desire to lord it over others, from littleness of faith and feebleness of courage, from noises drowning out the high calling in Christ.
We ask you to deliver us, good Lord.
To find joy in being small followers of a great Lord. To find excitement in your working among people through your word and sacraments. To find purpose in serving you and your people in the church. To find peace in the five wounds and the open tomb.
We ask for your grace, Heavenly Father.
O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God.
We ask you to hear us.
O Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Have mercy upon us.
O Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Have mercy upon us.
O Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy upon us.
O Christ,
have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
May the Spirit of truth lead you into all truth, giving you grace to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to proclaim the wonderful works of God. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.